We're going to talk a little bit this morning about the seven I am statements of Christ, and that's what we're going to be studying this session. They are only in the Gospel of John, and they are no ordinary statements. They're profound and they're powerful. And by studying these, we're going to learn more about Jesus, his character, more about God, how he relates to us, all he does for us, so much in this session. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine." We're going to be studying one of these declarations each week in our study, as you see and you open your lesson. And we're going to be covering about 40% of the Gospel of John between chapters 6 and 15. In each instance, Jesus explained who he is with this phrase, "I am." Now, Warren Wiersbe said, "In his I am statements, Jesus not only tells us who he is, but he also tells us what he can do for us and what we can become in him as we walk with him. If we're spiritually hungry, he offers us the bread of life. To those walking in darkness, he gives the light of life through the light of the world. And we need not fear death because he's the resurrection and the life. Can we be sure of going to heaven? Yes, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Can our lives be fruitful for his glory? Yes, if we abide in him and draw upon his life, we will be fruitful." So in Jesus Christ, the great I am is really all that we need. So you can see we have a lot we're going to discover. Many of you are very familiar with those I am statements, and some of you maybe less so, but we're going to learn a lot more about them. So before we look into the I am statements today, let's learn about the author of the gospel, and that's John, the Apostle John. John was the son of Zebedee, and he had a brother named James. John fished with his father, and they had a family fishing business on the Sea of Galilee until Jesus called him out to become a fisher of men and to follow him. Now, Jesus nicknamed John and his brother James the Sons of Thunder. Some of you have heard that before. John was at the transfiguration of Christ. He was one of Jesus' inner circle, along with Peter and James. John leaned on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. Do you remember? And he was known as John the Beloved. Jesus gave John the responsibility. When Jesus hung on the cross, he looked down and he said, "John, there's your mother. Mother, there's your son," making sure his mom was going to be cared for. Jesus trusted him to do that. John wrote the Gospel of John, and then 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, those epistles, and the book of Revelation. John actually wrote the Gospel of John to prove that Jesus is the I am, the very Son of God. In this very special verse, John 20:31, he said, "But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And then Jesus said in John 8:24, "If you believe not that I am, then you shall die in your sins." John 18:46, in Gethsemane, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus and take him for trial and down the road to the cross, Jesus asked the soldiers, "Whom do you seek?" He answered, Jesus of Nazareth. And then Jesus replied to them, "I am." And then they all fell backwards in the power of that name. Can you imagine? Woodrow Kroll says, "The Jews knew that Jehovah used the expression, 'I am,' to describe himself. When Jesus used that expression, it wasn't just to say, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth,' but it was to say, 'I am he. I am God.' That was enough to make the officers of the chief priests and the Pharisees cringe and cower and become angry." So let's turn, if in your Bibles, we're going to turn back to Exodus 3, 13, to see where the Lord first described himself as I am. In this section, it's where God appeared to God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. So you see, I'm not Chrissy. There's a big mistake right there. You can tell her if you want. She'll laugh. But verse 13, let's see what he says here. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.' Moreover, God said to Moses, 'This you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord, a God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" So Moses anticipated when he went to Israel that the children of Israel would ask him, and so he asked God, and God identifies himself as I am, or I am that I am, or Yahweh in the Hebrew to the Jews. The name I am proclaims God as a self-existent one who always was and always will be, eternal, sovereign, and having supreme power. The fuller name I am who I am may mean I am because I am, or I will be that I will be. Hard for us to understand all that grammar, right? He is the God who is above all time, the great I am. Isaiah 42:8, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another." In Isaiah 43:10, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe in me and understand that I am he, and before me there is no God formed, neither shall be any after me." Woodrow Kroll says Jesus used the I am statements exactly the way Jehovah did to show equality with the I am God of the Old Testament. Every time Jesus said I am, he was saying he is God, or I am God. Whatever Israel needed, Jehovah supplied. He is the I am God. Jesus is the I am God, and he will meet our needs too. As we go through our study, we're going to find he is the great I am for us. He's sufficient for us, and we're going to discover he's all we need. So let's turn now to John 8 really quick, and we're going to read verses 56 to 59. So let me get in the right spot. And here Jesus was speaking to the Jews, and he said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." And then the Jews said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out by the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So the Jews were so angered by this claim that he was claiming to be God, eternal God, that they took up stones to throw at him and to stone him. Stoning was a penalty for blasphemy, for making oneself out to be God. So is this what they understood him to be doing? Yes, they knew fully well he was claiming to be I am God. Jesus was claiming to have existed before Abraham was born. By saying before Abraham was I am, he was claiming eternal pre-existence. But the real reason that made him so mad was when Jesus said those words, I am. Jesus was actually using the divine name by which God had revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush, as we just read, I am that I am. In Hebrew, this is the name Jehovah. Jesus here claimed to be Jehovah, He claimed to be God Almighty. It's for this reason the Jews wanted to kill him. Well, we're all looking forward to studying the I am statements of Christ, and we're going to closely focus on Jesus and the things he said about himself and how we can apply them to our daily lives. Warren Wiersbe said, Jesus called himself the bread of life and the light of life. Through the word, we can feed on him and follow the light of the world and experience this promised life. He is the door of the sheep that enables us to come in and go out and enjoy peace and freedom and abundant life. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep that we might experience eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus told Martha, and to the disciples he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the true vine, and we are the branches. Because of the life he gives to us as we abide and live in him, we can bear fruit for his glory. So, Jesus is the timeless I am, the God who existed before time began and will exist long after time is swallowed up into eternity. Since Jesus supersedes time, he has perfect knowledge of all things in time, and he's never surprised. I have a little writing here from Woodrow Kroll that Christy was going to read, so I'm going to read it to you, a little story, but Jesus doesn't have to adapt his eternal plans to the surprises of his life. There are no surprises with the Lord. He is the I am God. And we have to remember that the eternality of his character and who he is. You never have to worry whether or not he is sufficient to handle all of the issues that come up, the trials, and the surprises that come up in your life. They're only surprises for you. So this is what Woodrow Kroll said, the I am is in complete control. My home is in Lincoln, Nebraska, is just 3.3 miles from the international headquarters of Back to the Bible. I can drive to work in about 5 minutes unless I'm stopped by a train. There is a railroad crossing about a mile from our office, and it's a pretty busy set of tracks. Here in the Midwest, coal is hauled east, goods are hauled west, and grain is hauled in all directions. Many of these products are transported by rail. There is a 120-car limit, so to the number of cars that a train can pull, but when I get stopped by a train, there's no reason to count the cars. It will be 120 almost every time. So I often sit there waiting, you know, at the crossbars, thinking about what it would be like living in one of those boxcars or grain cars, especially one in the middle. You don't have any idea where you're going. You barely know where you've been. You're just a car attached to other cars going wherever the tracks run and the engine takes you. If you could only free yourself from the surrounding cars, fly up high and get a bird's eye view, you could see the end from the beginning. Then you would understand more. Life is like that. We can only see what's happening within the confines of our little boxcar. We don't have the perspective of eternity to see where the train is going or where time is taking us. It's hard to see anything good can come from, say, a spouse addicted to alcohol or other drugs. It's hard to understand why Christian ministries always seem to be strapped for cash. It's hard to appreciate why certain people come into our lives, people who don't seem to contribute anything positive to us. If we only had a way to see the end from the beginning, then we could make sense of a lot of things. Don't you wish you knew what was going to happen tomorrow? We would understand that why a person was brought across our path. We would know what would become of our drug-addicted spouse, our rebellious teenager, or our aging parents. But we don't have such a perspective. That's because we're riding in the center boxcar. We can't see the end from the beginning. We are stuck in the car of the present, attached to the other cars called our past and our future, not knowing for sure where things are headed. That's why having a relationship with the I am God is so important to us. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, meaning he was on the tracks before our train ever got moving. The Alpha was there when our train pulled out, and the Omega will be there at the station when we get to our destination. Jesus knows the end from the beginning. That's why he can comfort us when we mourn. He can help us choose the right future or correctly reflect on our past. We don't have to worry about the things that happen to us in the present because the I Am God has our past, present, and future covered. Trust the I Am God to know what's best for your future. Trust him to do what's best for you in the present. Trust him to make the best of your past. Only Jesus Christ is totally sufficient to meet your needs, past, present, or future. He is sufficient because the I Am God is not bound by time. He is the Lord of eternity. What does it mean for you that Jesus is eternally existent? It means that you have not placed your faith in a man, but in the sufficiency of the I Am God. It means your life is in the hands of one who invades time, but also supersedes it. It means you've placed yourself, your fortunes, your future in his hands, now scarred with nails, but eternally outstretched to care for you. It means that Jesus is always there for you, day and night, past or present, good times or bad. Who but Jesus Christ is sufficient to care for you with no boundaries of time? Who indeed but the I Am God? Let's pray.